But this morning when I was making a cup of tea, I looked out the kitchen window and I could see that there were birds perching on the frame and pecking at the fruit which was poking through the net. Fortunately, only one or two berries, only one or two bits of fruit. But nevertheless, they were persistent. And I felt God say, how persistent are you in getting what you need to survive, in getting what you want from me? God has no fruit nets. Everything that he has promised us is available to us. We don't need to push through a fruit net. Sometimes we find things as being obstacles in the way, but God is saying, push through, and you will achieve. You will get what I have promised you. 6 weeks ago, Phil asked me to speak today. I was not aware then that it was Father's Day, but the subject for us this morning is actually very appropriate for today, because it begins with family. Family is very important to God. It's very close to God's heart. I would even dare to say it's at the very centre of God's heart, because family is a picture of him, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Godhead, dwelling together in unity and in harmony. And we as families, and as the family of God, should be a picture of that to the world around us, to people who are living today in fear, people today who are living in poverty, people today who are living not knowing where the next food is, where the next meal is coming from, or where they're going to live, people who seem to have nothing and yet in God can have everything. God is family orientated. He's for us. He's not against us. And that was his plan for creation, that men and women should marry, should have children, and become a family. It's the essential building block of society. Someone has said somewhere, our very existence as a society is dependent on the success of the family. If you look in the book of Genesis, chapter 2, Adam, when Eve was presented to him, says, for this cause, a man shall leave his mother and father and will cleave or cling to his wife, and they shall become one. Later on, God makes a promise to Abraham that in him all the families of the earth should be blessed. That reached its culmination when Jesus came. In Psalm 68 and verse 6, he says this. He sets the solitary in families. He's aware that there are people who are lonely, but he doesn't want you to be alone. He says, you don't need to be alone. I've made a family for you. And then in Ephesians chapter 3, and I just love this passage, the wonderful prayer that Paul prays for the Ephesians. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named. I must turn to it and read it because it's so great. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ, to be filled up with all the fullness of God. That's what God wants for you. That's what God wants for me, to be filled up with his fullness. And it comes through the Holy Spirit to us. We are, of course, born naturally and physically into a family. I was born into the Oliver family. You put your own name there. There's another way in which you can join a family. 3 weeks ago, our family grew by one when our granddaughter Leafy married Peter. And likewise, Peter's family grew by one. Marriage brings families together. And it was wonderful. At the hotel where we had the reception, the unity that there was between the families, really marvellous. But there is another way, and I'm going to ask Sue to come and read the first 14 verses of the first chapter of Ephesians. So if you've got your Bibles, turn to that, chapter 1 of Ephesians, and it's the first 14 verses.
To the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons of Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory.
Thank you. I have to say that that passage is one of my favourites. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and so on, and so on. Before I get on to the main subject this morning, which you might have already picked up, I just want to emphasise a couple of words that have come out of that passage that's just been read. After Paul introduces himself to the Ephesians, he pronounces this wonderful blessing upon them. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful blessing that is. We all need grace. And how wonderful it is to live in peace. When you look around us, how many people do not live in peace? And yet that peace, that blessing is available to them. But it comes through grace, God's favour toward us. We don't deserve it. We cannot earn it. And we certainly don't merit it. But God, in his love and in his mercy, is pleased to pour out his grace upon us. And it's through grace that what we're talking about will happen this morning. It's through grace that we can become adopted as sons, as children. And then there's that word predestined. That can be a bit problematic to some people. I was brought up in the Calvinistic tradition, where God chooses some and rejects others. But, and that's putting it very simply, but I feel that before the creation, before time began, it says we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. And God determined then that he was going to bring into his family all those who call upon him, all those who cry out to him, all those who plead with him to be saved. It says in Joel that all who call upon the Lord will be saved. In John chapter 1 and verse 12, you have that wonderful verse that to as many as received him, that is Jesus, to them he gave the right, the power to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. That is predestination. God has chosen you because you call out to him, and he says, you will be my children. So, what is adoption? Well, it's mentioned 5 times in the New Testament and every time by the Apostle Paul. And there is a timeline to it. We've read the first one. This is the one that began before creation, before time, predestined for adoption before time began. In Romans chapter 9 and verse 4, it talks of Israel receiving the adoption. To them was given the law. And it was then that God said to Israel, "You are my son." Exodus chapter 4 and verse 22 says that. "You are my son." Unfortunately, they were to be his ambassadors. They were to be his representatives here on earth. He chose them not because they were great, not because they were mighty, not because they were wealthy, but because he loved them and he wanted them to be his representatives. They weren't always successful. And then in Galatians chapter 4, we have a summary of the coming of Christ into the world. Jesus was born of a woman, born under the law. He was made in the likeness of men. And then through his death, we become clean if we believe in him. Through his death, we receive life. Through his death, we receive the promises. And through his resurrection, that is our guarantee. We know that we will be like him because we shall see him as he is. If you want to find out more, look at the first letter of John and read through that and see how God speaks to you through that. And then also in Galatians 4, God sends the Holy Spirit. And as we read, he's the guarantee of our inheritance, and he's the one who seals the promise to us. Then in Romans chapter 8 and verses 15 and 16, which I will read. "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, 'Abba, Father.' The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." He is the seal to us that we are God's children. And then in Romans 8 and verse 23, it talks about the new creation. "For the creation was subjected in futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body." And that is the new creation, the time when God is going to make all things new. So that is future, but we can begin to enjoy it now. What is adoption? Well, the word that Paul uses is a compound Greek word meaning to place as a son. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, talking on this, he says, "Adoption is the transfer of a child from one family to another and the placing of that child in the second family. So the adopted child leaves behind everything to do with the old family. It has nothing more to do with it, and is completely absorbed into his or her new family, enjoying all its rights and privileges. Spiritually, when God adopts us, we are transferred from the power or the kingdom of Satan's darkness to the kingdom of God's beloved Son." What a marvel is that? I've been transformed. Excuse me. I've been transformed. I've been translated. I've been transferred from Satan's kingdom into God's kingdom. What a wonder that is. Spiritual adoption, and this is Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones again, is a judicial act of God. It has a legality to it, bestowing on us the status or standing of sons. But what were we like before we were adopted? What were we like under our old nature? Well, we don't need to go far from our reading. The next chapter tells us all about it. We are strangers, foreigners, aliens, How many times have you parents told your children, don't talk to strangers, don't go with strangers, you won't know what they're like. They may be all right, they may not be all right. Foreigners, well, that's getting a bit worse because that's from a different culture, a different country even. Mind you, we have some good people who were foreigners in this church. And aliens, if you talk to a child about aliens, they would think of something or someone from another planet. And that's what we were like. We were, as far as God is concerned, from another planet. Thank you. Having no hope without God in the world. Dead. That's even worse. Dead. No life. Absolutely no life at all. As dead as a dodo. Dead to God and godliness in trespasses and sins. Disobedient, rebellious, children of wrath. Children deserving of the anger that God has reserved for those who do not, who will not turn to him. Sad to say that, but it's a fact. But this isn't what God intended. He intended for us to be in relationship with him, to become his children. The Westminster Confession puts it like this, and Phil Norris mentioned this last week. The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. I love that. To enjoy God forever. And it starts now. Thank God for that. So, this is now where grace comes in. From the old nature to the new, it's all of God's grace, but God being rich in mercy. God being rich in mercy through his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, has made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and has raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places. Wow, that's great, isn't it? To sit together with Christ, to sit together in the presence of God. You can do that now. We can do that now. Sit together with him and enjoy his company. God, through his grace, takes us out of Satan's family and brings us into his family. Spurgeon puts it like this. We are, to all intents and purposes, the actual offspring and children of God. So what happens after adoption? What happens when we've been transferred to this new family, this family of God? Well, we're given a new name. When Stuart and Teresa adopted Lily May, they gave her a new name, and they gave her their family name, Griffiths. Likewise, when Brian and Marie adopted Esther, the same thing happened there. They gave her a new name. They gave her their name. And when God adopts us, he gives us a new name. We're told in Revelation chapter 3 that we're given a new name. But that comes to us at new birth. That comes to us at the point of adoption. Child of God, you carry the name of God with you. You bear his name wherever you go. You have his name in you and on you. That's a wonder to me. We're also given a new nature. We are a new creation. Phil Norris also brought this out last week. If anyone be in Christ, new creation. Everything is new. The old has passed, Paul says, and the new has come. New creation. So, we have a new name and we have a new nature. Now, what are the privileges of adoption? My time is gone. I just have to go through these very quickly. Well, we are accepted. God loves us as his only begotten son. You can read that in John 17, verse 23. You've loved them with the love which you had with me before the foundation of the world. We are accepted. Literally, that means we have favor bestowed on us in the beloved. We have assurance. The Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are children of God. We can call God Father. Abba. Abba is Greek Father, or rather, Abba is Aramaic, Father comes from the Greek, Pater. We have liberty. All right. Thank you. We have liberty and freedom. We're no longer under law, but under grace. Law doesn't rule us, but we will keep it, because if we love Jesus, he says, you will keep my commandments. We're not under law, but we're under grace, God's freedom. And we have security and provision. 7 years ago, Psalm 46 was very precious to me. God, our refuge and strength. On the morning of the day of my operation for bowel cancer, when I woke up, those were the words that came immediately to mind. God, our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Are you in trouble this morning? If you're adopted, God is your security. God is there with you. And many years ago, I remember sitting one morning, having my breakfast, getting ready to go to work, and I was just sitting there. I'd been reading the Bible. I don't think there was anything particular going wrong or going on in our lives, but I just felt these arms around me. God was there in that room. The other members of the family were asleep or just waking up. I was alone, but God was there, and I actually felt his arms around me. God is our security. Boy, does he love you. Boy, does he take care of you. Oh, what a wonderful God we have. What a wonderful Father we have. He's our security. God, our refuge and strength. He's also our provision. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He takes care of you. He takes care of your needs. My God shall supply all your needs. Not just some of them. All your needs. According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And he's so good that he gives us our wants too sometimes. Wants are different to needs. We need food to live. We need water to live. We need a roof over our heads. But to have a holiday, well, a holiday is good. I like holidays. There are things, you can put something there that is maybe a want rather than a need. But God is good, and he provides our needs and often gives us our wants too. What a great God he is. His name is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who sees and who provides. Do you remember that story from your Sunday school days? Abraham taking his son Isaac up the mountain to sacrifice to God. And when it came for Abraham to execute his son, his hand was restrained. But before that, he had said to Isaac, when Isaac said, "Father, where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" "My God will supply a lamb." And he did, through Jesus. And Jehovah Jireh is his name. The Lord who sees and who provides. Praise his name. So, privileges of adoption, acceptance, assurance, liberty and freedom, security and provision. But with privileges come responsibilities. And the responsibilities of adoption, some of them I've listed here. You can probably think of more. Obedience, the very first one. Remember what we were like before God changed us, before God saved us, before God translated us out of darkness into his kingdom? We were disobedient. But now we're to be obedient to him. I had to obey my father. If I didn't, I was for it. But he treated us kindly. When he had died, my brother and I were sitting either side of his bed. It was just his body laying there. But we said to one another, he was a good dad. He was firm, but he was kind. God is like that. He's firm, but he's kind too. And we obey him. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." That will be what you want to do. I want to obey God. At the wedding in Cana, where Jesus performed his first miracle, when the wine ran out, and they came to Jesus and said, "Can you do something?" Mary said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." And whatever God says to you today, tomorrow, next week, do it. Whatever he says to you, whatever he says to me about the pledge, let's do it. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's Jesus' summing up of the Ten Commandments. So easy to remember it that way. To love God with everything that we have, to obey him, to do what he asks us to do, that brings us joy and that brings us assurance. And loving our neighbour as ourselves. If we can't love ourselves, how can we love our neighbour? Let's ask God to help us to love ourselves so that we can indeed love our neighbour and do good to them. Second responsibility, honour. The fifth commandment says this, and it's again appropriate for today, Father's Day. Honour your father and mother, that it may be well with you and your days may be long on the earth. And Paul says it's the first commandment with promise. There is the promise. It will be well with you when you honour your father and your mother. I will honour my father and my mother until the day I die. I honour them today, although they're both long dead and are in glory with God in heaven. But I still honour them. And we should honour God too. I looked up some of the definitions of honour, or some other words for it in the thesaurus. Admire, adore, esteem, exalt, glorify, hallow. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, honoured be your name. Respect, revere, reverence, venerate, worship. We should be a worshipping people and honour God through that. That's a responsibility. Those who honour me, God says, I will honour. But those who despise me will be lightly esteemed. We need to weigh the two up together. We can easily say, those who honour me, I will honour. But then we need to think of ourselves, well, do I really and truly esteem God in the way that he wants me to? Those who honour me, I will honour. We should not say or do anything that brings God's name into disrepute and brings the family of God into disrepute as well. And then there's trust. Trust in the Lord and do good. Delight yourself in him and he will give you the desires of your heart. That's Psalm 37. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and he will direct your paths. That's Proverbs chapter 3. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Trust, trust, trust. Trust God in everything. Trust him to meet your needs. Trust him to meet your needs and to provide for you in everything. And if you ask and if you seek and if you knock, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So that's the privileges, that's the responsibilities. But now we come to the inheritance. In Roman law, childless families would adopt young adult males of good character to become heirs and maintain the family name. All members of the family held their property jointly with the paterfamilias, or head of the family, and all children were already heirs while their father lived and had joint control of their property. I didn't inherit my father and mother's wealth, such as it was, until they died, but God will never die. And it says that we are heirs, we are joint heirs with Christ now. We enjoy what he has now. If children, we are then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together. We like the easy side. We're not so happy with the suffering side. But this side of the grave, we're perhaps more subject to the suffering side than not. But God says if we suffer with Christ, then we shall also be glorified with him. That's an inheritance. We shall be with him forever and see and share his glory. I just want to read some of the prayer that Jesus said. The glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. And as I said earlier, God has loved us before the foundation of the world. You may have often heard me say it in a prayer. God looks down through time and he sees that man and he sees that woman and he says, I love that man, I love that woman, they will be mine and they will share my glory. What a wonder he is. How great he is. How great is our God. I can't emphasize that enough. I love him so much, the older I get. And we have a home prepared for us. Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, many dwelling places. And I like the AV version, many mansions. It speaks to you of something that's palatial, something that is, you know, really beautiful, really comfortable. That is the home that God's prepared for us. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. We shall be citizens of a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. No more sin, no more death, no more sorrow. Let's read it. The word of God is much better than my words. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and will be their God, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. There will be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. A new heaven, a new earth, a new home. Everything perfect and in its place, even a new body. I've asked Anna if she would sing her song, I've Been Saved by Grace. I don't have any time for that. Thank you. And as she sings it, Mel will put the words up. But while she's coming in, I need to say this. We who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ and have been adopted into his family, we are part of a family whose father fills a throne. But do you know his adoption? Can you call him father? Can you call him Abba, daddy? Is Jesus Christ your elder brother? Is he your Lord? Is he your Savior? Does the Holy Spirit dwell in your heart, guiding you, directing you? If you can say yes to all of those, then you are indeed a child of God, and you carry his name, and you have an inheritance in him. But maybe you're not sure. And as Anna sings these lovely words, just bask in them and ask God to speak to you through them. And maybe ask him to reaffirm that you are his adopted child, predestined to adoption as sons and daughters. That's our God. Thank you, Anna. Thank you.